This program is part of Full Service Radio, an internet radio station and podcast network with over 32 weekly shows broadcasting from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. All of our hosts are Washington, D.C. locals, covering stuff like music, arts, culture, identity, politics, and so much more. Visit fullserviceradio.org for all of our programming and enjoy the show. Full Service Radio is also proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Hello. I'm Kirsten Bourne, or Kiko for short, and this is Lunch Agenda on Full Service Radio at the Line Hotel in D.C. Each week at noon, I spend lunch break with advocates, doctors, parents, and more to hear their agenda for the food system, and I ask each guest for one action that you can take to change things for the better. You can see pictures of the show at KikoBuff on Instagram, that's K-I-K-O-B-U-F-F, and find links related to each episode to learn more on kikosfoodnews.com. And please, if you have guest ideas for someone who has a unique perspective on the food system that you think other people can learn from, send me those ideas at kikosfoodnews.com. I've already had really great feedback after last week's episode. Last week, we kicked off Lunch Agenda's Groceries for All series with an interview with Dominique Hazard, who helped organize DC's grocery march to protest inequality of healthy food offerings east of the river.
All these people want store. Lord, they deserve store. All these people want store. Lord, they deserve store.
That was all of us at the grocery march in October. And today, we're going to talk about Ward 8. We'll talk to one resident, Tony Lawson, and we'll hear what Ward 8's council member, Trayon White, has to say about the problem, too. And then finally, next week, for part three of the Groceries for All series, we'll round it out in conversation with Philip Sambal, who is the operator of Good Food Markets opening in Ward 8. But first, Kiko's Food News, a roundup of food headlines you should know about. So what happened this week in the food system? One, Nestle agreed to sell its U.S. confectionery unit to Ferrero, the Italian maker of Nutella, for $2.8 billion in the first step away from the candy business by the company that invented milk chocolate. The Nestle unit, which also includes brands like Laffy Taffy and Nerds, is suffering a decline in revenue. Nestle said in a statement announcing the sale that it remains fully committed to its chocolate business around the world. Quick side note, I believe that's the problem, that junk food is being marketed to other countries as its market shrinks in the United States. Two, Civil Eats reported that some countries have proposed taxing meat to reduce its consumption. This isn't only for health reasons, but as a climate solutions. What's more likely to pass here in the United States is pressuring citizens to adhere to the voluntary nutrition standards like FDA's MyPlate, which recommends a reduction in meat consumption. A recent Netherlands study found that adhering to government-recommended diets could lead to a drop in emission of up to 25% in high-income counties. That's carbon emission. Three, the surge in ICE arrests, that's the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Unit, across the nation, coupled with other immigration policies of the Trump administration, has spurred a noticeable drop in food vendors selling on New York City streets. For immigrants who are unable to find traditional jobs, street food vending is an accessible line of work that allows them to make a living. There are an estimated 20,000 street vendors in New York City, where the number of street vendor permits is capped at 5,000. This means roughly 80% of vendors are unable to operate their food businesses legally. So some New York City street vendors have started selling out of their homes to reduce their visibility and risk of being detained or deported. Finally, in food news this week, I want to announce that the D.C. Food Policy Council is hiring its first analyst to sit in the D.C. Office of Planning. They're taking applications through February 2nd, and the link I will have at kikosfoodnews.com. So I wanted all listeners to know about that opportunity to really affect D.C.'s food system. That's it for Kiko's Food News this week. And now on to the much more exciting side of our show, introducing our guest. My esteemed guest, Tony Lawson. I should first say welcome, Tony.
Welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Tony was born and raised in Brooklyn. Ow! Moved to D.C. in 89. Her family was all from D.C. And she's now a Ward 8 resident. She works part-time in D.C.'s Senior Community Service Employment Program, which is a government program that offers part-time employment to seniors. So she works for Terrific, Inc., which provides food for seniors in Wards 1, 2, and 4. Really happy to have you on the show, Tony.
Very happy.
I think that
to
you're going
here.
To offer a very valuable next perspective after the advocate perspective of Dominique from DC Greens. Mm. So I'm going to start with Brooklyn because that's, you know, your homeland. And Jack was just saying, you know, he's a New Yorker. I'm from the New York area. So it's always interesting to look at that landscape versus DC because you bring that perspective. So what is it? What is the grocery access landscape like in Brooklyn from your perspective versus what you see in Ward 8?
Well, I've been here for a number of years, since 1989, so I'm assuming that the grocery aspect and the landscape is very different than it was when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a large city, and access wasn't an issue when I lived there. There were enough stores that sold food so that poor people could buy food. You know, they were high-end stores as well. And in comparison, D.C. has become something a lot different than that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There aren't a lot of places, especially in Wards 7, 8, and 5, where people of low incomes or moderate incomes can buy and access good, healthy food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my sister Dana actually still lives in Brooklyn, and she said that last week I didn't give enough background to listeners who maybe don't live in D.C. about where we were talking about. Mm-hmm. So let me quickly do that. She said, where is Anacostia? So for those listeners not tuning in locally, D.C. is shaped in a diamond shape, and it's split into 8 wards for the purposes of city government. And the southwest edge of the diamond is the Potomac River. And then the southeast edge borders 2 big wards, wards 7 and 8, which are cut from the rest of the city by the Anacostia River, which is a tributary flowing into the Potomac. Anacostia, where our grocery march ended, is a historic neighborhood at the intersection of Good Hope Road and Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue in Ward 8. So, Tony, you live in Ward 8. Can you describe your neighborhood? You know, to someone who hasn't visited, tell us about it.
Well, I love my neighborhood. It's changed in a lot of ways, changed for the better. At one point, we had a lot of disruption, drugs, etc. It's really changed. It's quiet. There's trees. There's walking space. I live a block from a very large park.
Which park is that?
The park is located Wheeler Road. It's I can't remember now the name of the park, but it starts at, I know my entrance is Wayne. I live on Wayne Place Southeast,
okay.
And I can walk right down into the park. And it's a large park. It covers a lot of area, a lot of green space.
Nice. Mm. And what would you say your neighborhood has and doesn't have?
It has single-family homes. It has tall buildings, a few tall buildings. It's quiet. It doesn't have any place where people can shop easily to buy healthy, fresh food and inexpensive food.
Yeah. And do you fit into Ward 8? You know, do you consider yourself a typical Ward 8 resident? And I know that's asking you to very much overgeneralize. I would just, you know, I feel that I am a typical resident of my neighborhood these days. It's Bloomingdale. My dad calls it Fertility Valley because you see young parents with strollers everywhere. So I, you know, for better or worse, don't stand out from the mold. How do you feel you fit into Ward 8?
I think I fit in D.C. very, very well. As a native New Yorker, we're very fluid. We can go anywhere. I lived on a farm for 10 years, so I fit into D.C. very well. And all of my family is here, and I came often as a child.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, would you say you look like the average Ward 8 resident?
Definitely.
So my sister, who, you know, gave me great feedback after my debut episode last week, she also said, I didn't address the issue of race head on. And that is just a or the issue, at least an issue. So I want to give quick information there. As of last year, Ward 8, where Tony lives, was 93% African American, 1% Latino, 3% white. Ward 7 that borders it is similarly 94% African American, 2% Latino, 1% white. And as it relates to the grocery gap that we're talking about here today, as of 2016, nearly 70% of the city's supermarkets were concentrated in its predominantly white neighborhoods. In Ward 7 and 8, there were 50,000 people for every grocery store. That is stark racial disparity to me, those two sets of stats. Do you feel the grocery gap is a race issue, Tony?
Of course. It's planned. It's planned a long time ago. It didn't just start when gentrification became evident and prominent, you know, in the city. This is a plan. All disparities.
Who planned it?
The powers that be, the people that have the money. You know, neighborhoods, communities, and cities are planned. You know, sometimes I guess they just came about for convenience. They were near the water, et cetera, like that. Mm-hmm. But in this century, they're planned. They don't just happen. People just don't move in, and then you have a neighborhood.
Yep, yep. So your council member, Trayon White, who was sworn into office just a year ago, is he the youngest council member that D.C. has had?
I believe he may be. Yes.
He definitely brings a youthful energy, which I think is so inspiring to our generation of future leaders. He evoked Martin Luther King Jr. in the context of this grocery gap, and I recorded him at the march.
Dr. King said that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And food is not something that we want. Food is something that we need. Growing up in this community, now we have a giant here, one grocery store serving over 75,000 plus people, which is not only a disgrace, but criminal in our community. I remember growing up, we didn't have a giant. About 2 weeks ago, I had the unfortunate pleasure of going to the doctor. The doctor told me I had early stages of diabetes. And I was like, wow, you know, never would I imagine at the age of 33, I have early stages of diabetes. But I often rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because I know that with the power of God, anything is possible. And so it's about eating habits. It's about re-education. It's about training our people on what we need to do to survive and live and thrive in our community. So that's what we're here to do today, this morning. We're not just stopping here.
Have you talked to Councilmember White since the march, Tony?
No, I haven't talked to him since then.
Do you have opportunities to be in conversation with him?
I've been in several conversations with him.
Okay, and what do you think he is trying to focus on in the aftermath of the march to fix this problem?
I think he's working very hard. It's not an easy problem to solve.
Yeah.
I don't know the specific plans, what his platform or agenda is specifically, but as you said, we do have a Whole Foods. Is it Whole Foods? Not Whole Foods. It's
Good Food Market.
Good Food Market, excuse me, coming to South Capitol Street and Atlantic, right on that corner. And I wondered for a long time what that hole in the ground was, because I remember shopping in the little strip mall that that particular area that was located in that particular area. Mm-hmm. So I know what was there, and I was always wondering what was going to be there. I knew it wasn't going to be a high-rise luxury building.
How did you know?
Because this is something that the residents of Ward 8, we become very, very familiar with the process that's going on with gentrification. So we know it's coming. It's not something that came out of the blue for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been watching, talking about it. People, even people that are really not involved in the politics of D.C.,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay, what are they going to do there? And that's the one thing I knew. It was not going to be a high-rise, you know, unaffordable for poor people building. But I'm very happy that it is going to be someplace where we can shop, someplace that sells healthy food, and for all the intents and purposes, for the land, the mass that's there, it's going to be pretty big. I'm sure they're going to have other shops and things going on. So that's exciting.
And how far is that from your house?
For me, I mean, it's like a 5-minute walk.
Nice.
Yes,
nice.
Very nice.
It's a perfect walk.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'm going to ask Tony to tell us more about her food life these days. Stay tuned.
And today's break song is called Wolfpack by Flash Frequency. We'll be right back on Full Service Radio.
Welcome back to Lunch Agenda. This is Kiko. I'm here in conversation with Tony Lawson, who's long time lived in Ward 8. And I'm going to now ask Tony about getting food. So let's talk about groceries. Where do you shop?
I shop all over the city. I look for the sales, basically. To tell you the truth, I very rarely use the Giant on Alabama Avenue. For me and my budget, the Giant is quite expensive. Mm-hmm. So I use other venues. I use the dollar store. Mm-hmm. I go to Harris Teeter. The closest to me is Potomac in Pennsylvania. I look in the paper and I see, you know, what's on sale. And I have to travel to different areas of the city, and I definitely try to maintain my shopping where I go in the boundaries of the District of Columbia. Mm-hmm. For my view of where I should spend my money. Mm-hmm. So I go to different places.
Do you buy anything at Giant? I'm just can you afford at Giant? What would you go to other stores for?
Well, I go to other stores. I mean, my first thought when I go to other stores is the sales. What's on sale? Mm-hmm. What can I use? Fresh fruits and vegetables, I don't go to Giant for that. Mm-hmm. You know, I go, if they have a sale, I have to get put up. They send their advertisements in the mail, and I see if there's anything there that I eat that I want to eat. Meats, I go to Harris Teeter. I have a better quality of meat, in my opinion, and for what I like, and the sales are better, and they have a senior day, and it's very good for my budget.
What type of meat do you find yourself cooking most regularly based on what you find tasty, based on being the budget-friendly types of meat cuts?
Chicken.
Uh-huh.
I'm very big on chicken. I also like seafood. I like all types of seafoods.
Mm-hmm.
I like the quality of meat, and I've really, you know, learned how to tell how fresh the meat is.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself, when I go to some stores, I have to cure the meat, you know, let it soak all the additives and things out of it over a day or two before I can cook it, and it's tender enough I can taste the meat. If it's tough, you know, even if, you know, you cook low and slow, and it's still tough when you, you know, when you serve it.
Mm.
And I know the quality. I've been eating a long time, so I know a good cut of meat and a poor cut of meat.
And how do you get to all of these various grocery stores that you're shopping to, and what does that time investment look like?
It's a very concentrated time. I mean, it's something that I have to do. It's a part of my weekly plan, and I just can't get away from it. I spend a lot of time. I have to shop strategically. Where am I going to be at this time of the day, and what's near me, and how long is it going to take me? But I use public transportation.
Right.
And of course, I don't drive, so that's the easiest way for me to get around. Mm-hmm. And it's time consuming.
Yeah,
and it can be expensive if you use the metro train as opposed to the bus. And a trip from my house even to the Giant in my neighborhood can take me from 45 minutes to an hour because of the transfer system.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I can walk, I can walk it in like 40 minutes.
And that trip both ways, transportation-wise, costs about...
Well, I'm a senior, so I do have a discount, which is very fortunate for me.
Well-deserved.
Yeah. And it's still... But if you're paying full fare, if you're a full fare-paying customer, you're paying $2. You go in the store. It may take you... You do have a transfer time. It may take you 2 hours or more. Then you're paying another $2 on the way back. That's $4. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. And time.
And time. Time is money.
I heard you describing to someone that it takes half a day to go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And for someone, you know, you work part-time at this point, but for those residents who work one or two full-time jobs, That's a deal breaker.
Exactly.
And, you know, you said you have to shop strategically. Mm. And I think we all do. Mm. I consider that I have to be strategic about where will I be. But on my bike ride home from our show today, I will pass 3 or 4 stores.
Right.
So that's the difference, is the lack of those options.
Exactly.
So why do you prefer shopping in your ward versus, or, you know, in your ward or in D.C. versus in Maryland? Talk to me about that, because you seem passionate about that issue.
Very passionate. I live within the confines of PG County. I can go to Eastover Shopping Center easily. I can go there. I can walk there in 15 minutes. For me, it's important that I shop in my municipality where my tax dollars are spent. I don't live in PG County. The school, my tax money is not going to benefit. It's going to benefit the people that live in PG County. It's not going to, you know, benefit me or my people that live where I live. So I try to make it. And what a problem that I see is that a lot of us go different places. I live in a senior building, and I've heard many over and over, well, my daughter will come and get me and take me to Maryland to shop. I'd like to change the mindset of that, because your money is being used, your tax money is being used and benefiting someplace where you don't live. And it's important, and we don't have a choice. You know, some people are in wheelchairs, they're in walkers, so they have to go where they're being, you know, being taken. And in my building, they're having a bus service that's going to come and get us on, I think, the 6th of February. They're taking us to Maryland to shop. Mm-hmm. So we have a busload of seniors with money to spend, and we buy taxable items, and it's going to benefit PG County once again.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. We talk about voting with our dollars.
Right.
Food advocates, and that can take many forms. It can mean buying from food that's produced in a way that you know, feel is responsible. It can mean a lot of things. So you really do that. But you go out of your way to spend your dollars
in D.C.
to
proper.
Bolster D.C.'s residents.
Right.
Councilmember Trayon White talked about why shopping in his ward, in your ward, isn't all it's cracked up to be. And I got that on audio, too, at the march.
I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and he said he was doing some stocking at a store on Wisconsin Avenue. And they was deciding what they was going to do with the meat, because it was 2 weeks left on the food packets. They said, we're going to take that food and ship it to Southeast Washington, D.C. And he was like, they don't even know I live in Southeast. So he was listening. He said he was going to shoot it with some red dye. Lots of you now. He told me this yesterday.
I was horrified when I heard that story. Here's a council member, you know, the highest elected official we have chosen in D.C., aside from our mayor, because that's all the elected officials we get to choose, saying that the meat available in his ward is shot with dye. It's an utter lack of respect. Have you seen this with your own eyes, or heard any of these any similar stories?
This happens every time. I'm amazed that you're shocked. I mean, and you ask, why do we think it's planned? And people talk, when they talk in front of black people, they talk as if we're not here, we're not listening, we don't have intelligent enough to understand. Of course. And if you've been eating all your life, you know a good cut of meat from a bad cut of meat. You know when something is, the dye looks too red, doesn't look like real meat. You know, it's, what do they call it, fake food, you know, that doesn't disintegrate, like we have in some of the fast foods, you know, places that we eat out of. I mean, yeah. Of course, all my life.
What else, you know, specifically have you seen in the food that it looks different maybe from what you expect?
The vegetables in the markets, in the Giant, I hate to beat up on Giant, but I'm sorry, this is the way, this is my perspective. They're not, you know, the greens don't look green. And I mean, just they don't look like fresh vegetables that I grew up on. I know what a fresh vegetable looks like. And they're wilted, or they're not enough. They're not the selection is a poor selection of, you know, what you can buy. This is planned.
Yeah. So, what's worse, not having grocery stores or gentrification? Because, you know, I've heard them positioned at odds to each other. That if and when grocery stores come in, gentrification will follow.
Of course. You people follow the food. I don't mean to, you know. And you want the best of everything, and you can afford the best of everything. Why wouldn't you? If I had the, you know, I don't blame anybody for, we are born with whatever gifts or deficits that we're born with, but you have to use what the Creator gave you, and I understand that, you know. So, of course, Jen, and it seems as though people, poor people and people of color always get shoved aside. And the problem, one of the problems is the ability to produce enough tax base in our community to make a difference when the vote comes in, okay? We looked aside because like we're doing things like we're going to Maryland and taking our tax money to Maryland, you know? So the money that we're contributing to the coffers doesn't...
Isn't reflected
right,
in the resources
exactly.
that can go back to
back to the community. Yeah. Yep. And that's why I'm so, that's one of my passions, that we have enough places to spend our money so that our resources, you know, can be counted.
Yeah.
Like, well, they don't bring enough revenue in, because that's one of the things. If you're going to open a store, you want to know, you want to get your money back. And you're going to put your store in places where you know people can afford the goods that you are selling. It makes sense. It's economics. So
you say bring on the grocery stores, even though there's a risk of you know, the waves of gentrification that follow?
No.
Or how do you think, in all of your wiseness, we can add more grocery offerings and not marginalize people who live there?
Well, in my opinion, my humble opinion, the only way that we can circumvent that is that the people that have the power or that have the advantage of the gentrification, remember that we're all, I don't care how much money you have, that you think you have today, you may be living the life today of La Vida Loca and everything is wonderful, but the bottom can fall out at any minute for any of us, okay? History has shown that. Isn't a good war. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. If the bank is not there and there's no place to spend your money, you're just as poor as I am. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be cognizant and you have to think about, one day this could be me.
I could never say it better. It's one of the key things that I thought about regularly at the food bank, mm-hmm. is that I would meet these people who had worked their whole lives. One of their family members became sick. That's the beginning. And then all of a sudden they are, you know, needing our services.
Exactly.
So I really loved how you put that. So can you tell me about your financial situation a little bit? You know, you told me that you went to the City College of New York. You have lots of certifications. The list of companies that you've worked at, you know, would make my parents proud of me if I ever could count them as employers. It reads like the S&P 500 Index, MetLife, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Merrill Lynch, National Liberty Insurance, Sprint. Are you surprised that with all of that behind you, you're using food stamps at this point?
No, not really. Not really. We have seen many people that have worked all their lives, and they work for a company, and the company invests their supposed retirement money and commodities that have fallen apart. The bottom fell out. You never know.
Yeah.
You know, you trust the organization that you walk. And then if you're living from day to day, you're living on a salary, it's not a lot of money that you can invest. And that money has dwindled. You know, what you could do with $8,000 20 years ago is totally different than what you could do. I'm just taking a figure out of the air today. Mm-hmm. So that's, with seniors especially, the money that they worked on a job for 20 years and they thought they were going to have X amount of dollars to live on, you know, when they retired, that money isn't there.
Right.
The value of your dollar is
right.
diminished. You thought that maybe, hey, a $50,000 income can like take me, you know, I can live this life. Now you know not. No,
right,
you can't.
Right. And hence your tight budget.
Right, exactly.
So I just looked at the clock. We are a minute away from our end point, but I have to get your agenda item.
Okay.
So I asked Toni before she came, as I will with every guest, for one action item listeners can take to personally change our food system for the better in their day-to-day life. What do you want people to do? What would help this situation?
I think people, you need, well, my opinion is that would help individually, it would help where you shop and where you buy your foods and what they stock, is that we all take very a deep view, a view of what you read, what you're feeding your body, what's in it, what are the additives that they're using, how they affect the body, how they affect your body, because in the end, it's what you know, you are what you eat, you know, to quote a cliche, and the stores will stop selling these items if we don't buy them.
So I'm hearing vote with your dollars.
Vote with your dollars once again.
Tony's theme. I love it. Tune in next week because we've heard now from the advocate with DC Greens and we've heard from a resident who lives this day to day. Next week we'll hear from a business operator who is trying to affect change for this problem as well. For pictures of Tony being interviewed today, check out my Instagram, KikoBuff. And if you share this podcast across social media, please include the hashtag #LunchAgenda. If you want to see a video of Tony going shopping for groceries, go to kikosfoodnews.com. We'll have also our food news headlines there. See you next Monday for lunch.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.